failure to not launch.
Rules must be binding. Violations must be punished. Words must mean something.
But missiles speak louder than words as North Korea claims it put a satellite into orbit to broadcast revolutionary songs back to Earth. The West says there's no satellite, only the threat of ballistic missiles from Pyongyang.
The world must stand together to prevent the spread of these weapons.
In space, no one can hear you scream. Heck, we can't hear ourselves think on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Monday, April 6th. I'm John Hockenberry. Adora Udoji is spending time with her new baby. Once again, coming up this hour, we'll talk about President Obama's trip to Turkey. And we'll also discuss a new experimental drug that could prevent memory loss. And it's opening day in baseball. We'll learn how to throw to score the best ticket deals. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines. Strong earthquake hit central Italy earlier today, killing at least 20 people and leaving thousands others homeless. Firefighters are working to rescue those still trapped in crumbling buildings. Italian and U.S. measurements on the magnitude of the quake differ, but they do go as high as 6.3 on the Richter scale. Last stop, Ankara. President Obama is in the Turkish capital today. It's his last scheduled country stop for his first trip to Europe as president. Yesterday, he urged the EU to accept Turkey as a full member state.
Moving forward towards Turkish membership in the EU would be an important signal of your commitment to this agenda and ensure that we continue to anchor Turkey firmly in Europe.
Right now, President Obama is meeting with Turkish President Abdullah Gül. He's expected to ask for help in implementing his new strategy in Afghanistan and Pakistan. More on that in just a moment. Mark Garrison, what else is out there?
Good morning, John. The UN Security Council has ended an emergency meeting without agreeing on a response to this weekend's rocket launch by North Korea. The U.S., France, and Britain condemned it, but China and Russia urged restraint in unleashing punitive measures. Chinese Ambassador Zhang Yesu.
I think we are now in a very sensitive moment. Our position is that all countries concerned should show restraint and refrain from taking actions that might lead to increased tension.
Diplomats privy to the closed-door talks say China was concerned about further alienating North Korea. An 18-year-old ban on media images of returning war dead ended last night in America. The family of a Virginia airman killed in Afghanistan gave permission for the media to be present when his casket was carried off the plane at Dover Air Force Base yesterday. Previously, the press had been banned from watching or photographing the brief ceremony. A delegation of senior U.S. officials is in Afghanistan to discuss its upcoming election. U.S. Special Envoy Richard Holbrooke and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mike Mullen met yesterday with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and others.
Thank you, Mark. The Dow went up 0.5% on Friday. The S&P was up 1% to close at 843. That's where it begins trading today. So what if you could manage the memories in your brain like you can manage files on a computer? In the brave new world of neuroscience, there are drugs that could selectively get rid of or enhance your memory. What drug do you wish existed to tweak your brain and make your life better? Pills to make your head better. 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at TakeAway.org. Your suggestions.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, folks, believe it, you have entered Monday morning.
Our government. Bailout.
Your government.
Energy resources.
Healthcare.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Global financial recession.
The work that needs to be done.
Rub your eyes. What's going on? That's the question we ask every Monday in our agenda segment. This week, the what, who, and where to watch. Whole lot to watch here. Obama looking forward to a strong reaction to North Korea's missile launch over the weekend. A visit to Turkey, a rumored visit to points east, possibly including Iraq, just speculation, of course, and a host of economic indicators out this week as well. To help us, we're here with Marcus Mabry, international business editor of the New York Times, and with Cynthia Gordy, Washington correspondent for Essence. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Mark is, of course, our old friend right here in the studio in New York. Thanks, Mark.
Pleasure.
Mark, can I call you Mark? No, probably
not.
Your mother will be mad. So let me begin with the North Korea story over the weekend. We typically don't look back, but in many ways, Barack Obama laid down a line in the sand that we're going to have to see what the reaction is this week. It's very, very important.
North Korea broke the rules once again by testing a rocket that could be used for long-range missiles. This provocation underscores the need for action, not just this afternoon at the UN Security Council, but in our determination to prevent the spread of these weapons.
So a passionate, angry response from Barack Obama to the launch, and it seems as though he's saying the Security Council has to take action. Has he overstepped here? Has he kind of gone all in on the Security Council, which is known to maybe not take action, and there's China that's not necessarily supportive?
That's absolutely right, John. You know, this is a long-term problem that obviously predated this administration, but it's interesting the president's kind of passion there and kind of drawing a line in the sand that actually, without specifying what that line in the sand was, he talks about serious action. The UN did meet in a special session after that speech, and that resolved nothing, actually. It just said that this was a serious problem that had to be dealt with. Neither China nor Russia are actually going to stand up to any serious increase in sanctions against Pyongyang. And because it's such an isolated country, it's not clear what sanctions would be effective anyway. So it's interesting. I don't know where he hopes to go with this other than demonstrating his anger.
And there's certainly no precedent for North Korea paying a whole lot of attention to U.S. presidents. But Cynthia Gordy, is there a message here domestically of the president talking tough on this issue? And is that likely to play very positively for him back here in the United States?
I think it'll play positively for him in the United States. But again, as far as being effective with regard to the UN Security Council meeting a consensus, I don't think that that's going to have much of a play in that strategy. Like Marcus said, they met yesterday and they couldn't even come together on a written response, like even a verbal response condemning the launch, because even Russia and China weren't comfortable with going that far.
But is the White House taking an opportunity here? I mean, in a sense, this is kind of the 3 a.m. wake-up call moment. I mean, this is what Hillary Clinton suggested in the campaign rhetoric that, can Barack Obama say, yeah, definitely I'm answering the call here. And is that what they're trying to project from over in Turkey?
Possibly. It's a 4:30 a.m. call, incidentally.
Well, we're glad to know we have another hour and a half. That's definitely. Well, the other thing is that, of course, Barack Obama is in Turkey. And it seems to me it's very, very significant, Marcus, that this trip, the first overseas foreign trip of Barack Obama, spends a significant amount of time in Turkey.
It's incredibly important. They said, and he said in his inaugural speech, he said specifically, and it was kind of extraordinary if you remember back then, he directed himself, he said, now to the Muslim world, we say, we are with you, we are not against you. It was extraordinary that he kind of directed himself specifically at the Muslim world. That had never happened in over 230 years of American government. Turkey is an incredibly important key country. He came out once again, as other administrations have said, and this will probably, we'll hear the repercussions about this all week long, and said that the U.S. supports full European Union membership for Turkey. And that's just an incredibly gutsy thing to say, knowing that France and Germany, two of the largest countries in the EU, oppose that, at least in their current
governments. Well, let's remind our listeners, bringing Turkey into the EU puts the Armenia question on the table in Europe. It puts the Turkey-Greece tension on the table in Europe. And then there's all sorts of human rights issues that are definitely on the table in Europe. And Barack Obama has raised all of that.
Absolutely. And his point is that if you anchor this Muslim nation into Europe, that says more than anything else that we in the West are, in fact, as open to Muslim nations as we are to other nations. Eastern Europe had a lot of those same problems.
Right. Exactly. Well, Cynthia, does Barack Obama make points in the U.S. by suggesting that Turkey this time around will be a bigger diplomatic partner than it was certainly unsuccessful as a military partner for George W. Bush?
Well, I think there are some polls have showed that the American public, even though they have a poor view of Turkey and the Muslim world in general, there is a push that people want to see more diplomacy between the United States and this part of the world. So that's a positive for him. And in addition to just getting along, there are mutual benefits to both countries cooperating together. You know, Turkey has interest in stability in Iraq, and we have a mutual interest, of course, in stabilizing that region and developing that region. So Turkey is going to be a really crucial ally for us, and strengthening that relationship is not only just a symbol of peace, but it's also a strategic benefit for us.
And we've seen already President Gül mediating talks on Afghanistan and helping to intervene in the Israel-Hamas situation, even though they weren't necessarily decisive there. You know, this is kind of out of the left wing, and I know the blood sort of drains from your face whenever I go here, Marcus Mabry. You'll get used to this, Cynthia, don't worry. I was annoyed with all the coverage of Michelle Obama in Europe. I thought it was just this kind of glitzy sort of Princess Di stuff. But it seems to me the ability to project this powerful sort of partnership and woman in a Muslim country has an extraordinary kind of side message from the administration. Have you thought about that at all, Marcus?
You know, I have, John, actually. So in this case, the blood's not
dodged a bullet.
But, you know, the fact is, when I thought the most powerful, and look, I mean, we've all heard the commentary. Yes, it's unfair that this incredibly intelligent woman who's had incredibly important positions, who's incredibly well educated, would be judged in things like, you know, sleeveless shirts. Fact is, that aside, she looked fabulous all over Europe. That was extraordinary, and that meant a lot in France, especially a country I'm close to and lived in once. But secondly, what I found most powerful of her time so far in Europe was the speech she gave at that girls' school. That was incredibly moving.
Where she got really emotional. Yeah.
And she said, nothing in my past or in my roots suggested that I would arrive here as the first African-American first lady of the United States. And that was a message to those girls, saying nothing in your past or your current roots can tell you what your potential, what your possibilities are in the world. That was extraordinary. And if she could... I don't know what
to girls in the
Turkey.
Muslim world. I mean, that could even be like 10 times more.
If
powerful,
you could see her with little girls in Turkey, and Turkey is an extraordinary country that's both very religious, but at the same time incredibly secular. It would be amazing to see her in that same purview there.
What do you think the White House hopes to get out of this Turkey meeting, other than the president solidifying a strategic relationship, Cynthia?
I really think there's that partnership with Turkey being on the bordering Iraq, and maybe they'd open up to letting U.S. troops enter Iraq through the Turkish border, which is something that they weren't open up to again. But then there's just changing the view of the United States in Muslim countries. I think with the previous president, a lot of that part of the world thinks that the United States is an anti-Muslim country. So this is definitely a symbol to change that.
In points east, and particularly Turkey, there's a lot of concern over U.S. demand for imported goods and the turnaround of the U.S. economy as a leader for nations in emerging markets. Consumer credit is out on Tuesday, Marcus, and the international trade numbers are out on Thursday. How significant are those to watch?
They're very significant, John, because we've seen this tussle in our economic psyche over the last few weeks. Whereas on the one hand, the market has been responding pretty positively to the stuff that's been coming out. 4 up weeks is kind of, you know, extraordinary. First time in a long time we've seen that on the market. So that's a positive economic sentiment going forward. At the same time, we saw those horrible job numbers on Friday, and we're going to see, I think, increasingly horrible job numbers. 5 million Americans are now unemployed and looking for work. So the market and the economy are not sure if it's on positive ground or negative ground. We're right in the razor's edge right now. And these numbers are going to help us figure out, are we going in a good direction or a bad direction?
But is it safe to say that the consumer credit number speaks to demand of U.S. consumers, and the international trade numbers speaks to a kind of cratering export market for companies that are depending on exports for profits?
That's absolutely right. That talks about international demand. That's been the future. It's been the growth engine for this, you know, extraordinary decades of globalization and increasing prosperity we saw. Will that be continued? That's the question.
And, of course, Friday is Good Friday, the Easter weekend, so markets will be closed. It's just a 4-day trading week. We will see what happens. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for the New York Times. Thank you so much. And Cynthia Gordy, Washington correspondent for Essence Magazine. There's the agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.